are under 18 years old, you have to come up. Every person under 18, come on, Joan. Every person under 18. Come on, come on, come on. Percy! Okay. We're gonna sit up here today, like way up at the top. Okay, y'all come right over here. Come right here. Okay, come on. Okay, so do y'all know what Miss Leah did before I worked here? Does anyone know? No? I used to be an art teacher. And so I love to create art. So you know what we're gonna do today? We're gonna sit right up here and I'm gonna give you a folder, and inside the folder, guess what's in there? Not a coloring sheet, it's a plain old piece of white paper. And I'm gonna give you some crayons. There's lots of paper in there. There's lots of paper in there. And we're gonna have some crayons over here. Here, Mason, here. You guys use these crayons here. And then we're gonna use these crayons over here, okay? Here, why don't you go sit over there? Okay, are y'all ready? Here's all you gotta do. Oh, come on, come on. There's one instruction, that's it. Are you ready? Create a masterpiece. That's it. Spread out. Come over here, Percy. There you go. Here, y'all can turn around. Turn around. You can turn around. Mason, sit up there.
Am I on? I am now.
Come up here, David.
Wait, wait, wait.
David, come here.
There we go.
Right here.
Any of the kids out there want color? Anybody just want color? Because then you don't have to pay attention.
You want to go by?
It's really good.
Yeah, here.
Last chance. Those are your papers. We're going to leave them up here because I want you to see them. They're important to the sermon. You notice, don't think it's that crazy, because I know, you notice I picked doing this on the first Sunday of spring break, knowing that we wouldn't have 50 kids. You know, I'm not very smart, but I'm not that dumb. So I want to tell you a little bit about my mom. I don't know how many of your parents did what my mom did, but growing up, we knew early in our life that if it came down between mom choosing us or taking the side of a teacher or a coach, we were going to lose. It is how she raised us. She made it clear that if there was a disagreement or if we were being treated or we thought we were being treated unfair and we came home and complained, the teacher was correct and we were not correct. It's how we were raised, how it was. Any other parents do that? I didn't think my mom was the only one. And when my mom made up her mind on something, she was stubborn and unwavering and not willing to change. So in all my growing up years, I can tell you, I remember one time that my mom went to school and had it out with one of my teachers. It happened when a teacher sent home a note that my mom took offense to. I had colored on a coloring sheet. And my mom and the teacher put on the coloring sheet, "Marty needs to learn to color in the lines." Now, my mom had a different understanding than that. And she went to the teacher and she told this teacher that it is not right to tell a kid how to color. How to color in the lines or color out of the lines. If this is how he saw that elephant, this is how he saw that elephant. And it was just the way it was going to be. And she went on to say that when you tell a kid to stay within the lines and they color, you damper their creativity and you keep them from being an individual and they just become one of the crowd. And my mom did not want me to be one of the crowd. And I have struggled or grown my entire life with how do I do this delicate balance of coloring in the lines, but yet sometimes coloring outside the lines. And that's an important balance to strike. How do we learn to go along with what culture says, and when do we decide to do it a different, maybe even a better way? See, and as followers of Jesus, we should be more concerned about coloring outside the line than coloring inside the lines. Because Jesus spent most of his life coloring outside lines, going against normal behavior. He learned to look at the world in a different way and through a different lens. I gotta be honest. I love that these kids are up here. This just makes me smile. Not enough to where I would do it on a regular Sunday, but today. And I know some of them are fidgety. Some of them may even get a little bit out of control. And you know what? I think it's okay. And I know some of the adults are not happy that we have kids up here because they're making noise and they're giggling and they're doing things. And I'm going to just tell you, I think Jesus would love this. I mean, there's that time when Jesus really colored outside the lines, where he really went against the norms of the culture and society. Remember that? He's in teaching in a worship space in the synagogue, right? And all of a sudden, these little children come running up to him, and the disciples try to stop him. Remember that story? Disciples say, "No, no, no, kids, you gotta stay away." And Jesus just looked at the disciples and said, "No, wait a second. Let these little ones, let them come to me." And now, before we get mad at the disciples, we have to understand, that was just first century. Just children in those days were not to be seen, nor were they to be heard. They were not even counted as real people. And so the disciples were just coloring inside the lines, going with the norm. And Jesus said, "No, no, no." And I would give anything to have been in that room full of adults like us when Jesus said this, right? Not only did he say, "Let these children come to me," he said, "Unless you become like one of these, you don't have a place in the kingdom of God." See, Jesus expects us to be like these in order to enter into his kingdom. How you guys doing? Everybody okay? Masterpieces are looking good. In fact, I want to tell you that throughout the entire Sermon on the Mount, Jesus went against norm. Entire Sermon on the Mount, he colored outside the lines. There's not one part of the Sermon on the Mount that was not controversial, that did not go against society, that did not go against culture. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at the one that bothers me the most. Of all the things in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, this passage bothers me the most. Chapter 6, verse 25. And if you don't squirm when you hear these words, then, wow, you're special. Jesus says, and I'm going to skip around back there, okay, so stay with me. "Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body or what you wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops in the barn, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you worth much more than they are? And who," this is a line, "who among you by worrying can add a single moment to your life?" And then at the very end, he says this, "Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has its own trouble." Now, I just want to go on record saying, I really love Jesus. But really? Jesus wants me to go the entire day without worrying about tomorrow? Anyone in here can go all day today without worrying? Anyone? How about, let's cut it down. Anybody go an hour without worrying? An hour. 15 minutes. 10. See, some of you are worried right now. Some of you are worried like, oh my gosh, why did I get up an hour early for this? Right? Others are worried about how long is he going to go? He got in here awfully early. That's a good sign because we're going to get out early. Some of you are just worry warts. You can't go more than 3 minutes without worrying. But we are called not to worry. I mean, look at these kids. If we were to hook some sort of thing that could tell you what they were thinking, do you know not one of these kids would be thinking about their tax return? Not one of them would be worried about the fact that they had to set the clocks forward an hour. Not one would be worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Not one of them's thinking about what they're going to do for lunch. You know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about masterpieces. They're thinking about simply drawing a masterpiece. Who did this one? Who did that? Oh, Leah did. I don't want to share hers. Percy. Can I see her? Let me see yours. I know, but let me have it now. She takes after her dad, doesn't she? Did you do that? Now, when Percy was drawing this, what do you think she was thinking about? She was thinking about a masterpiece. That's all she was doing. Here, sweetie. She's an artist. See, these kids, they're living in the very moment that they're in right now. Which, by the way, is what Scripture tells us to do again and again and again and again. I love in Psalm 95, you want to put that up? Psalm 95? At the end of Psalm 95, this is what the psalmist writes. He says, if only you would listen to God's voice when? Today. He doesn't say anything about listening to God's voice tomorrow. That's not very important to him. Because the only thing God requires of us is today. Is really this moment. The only thing that matters to God is that we are living in this moment today and not missing what it could be because we're worrying about tomorrow. Anybody know where the Greek word comes, what the Greek word is that Matthew uses for worry? Anybody do Greek? The Greek word is merimano. And merimeno is a combination of two words. One is merizo, which means divide, and the other is nos, which means mind. And so when Matthew writes this word, he is saying, don't live with a divided mind, which is what worry does to you, right? Bert is sitting there paying attention to this sermon with this part of his mind, right? But this other part of his mind, he's worried about how bad the Yankees are going to be this year. See, that's a divided mind. Not one of these kids up here has a divided mind right now. What are they focused on? Coloring a masterpiece. Anybody know where our word worry comes from? Our word comes from an old German word, Wurgen. Wurgen means literally to strangle or to choke. Because think about your life. When you're worried about something, that childlike faith that God requires of us is just choked right out of us. And when we worry, we miss the abundant life that God is promising us. So look at these kids, and I thought about this week. what's really the difference between them and us? I mean, what allows them to just be up here not worrying at all, but just focusing on what they're drawing? And I finally realized it all comes down to trust. See, not one of these kids is worried that something bad is going to happen to them. Not one of them's worried that someone's going to laugh at their picture. Not one of them is worried about what they're going to eat for lunch, what they're going to wear to school, because they trust you. They trust their parents. They trust their grandparents. They trust this church that we're going to love them just the way they are. Somewhere along in our life, we lose that ability to trust. We don't trust one another, so we worry. But more importantly, we don't really trust God. We don't trust God because we think we need to be in control in order to make sure we have enough, make sure we eat enough, make sure we have the right clothes. And so our trust in God is nothing like their trust in you. And I think when Jesus said, you must be like one of them, it all boils down to trust. Now, I understand. We can trust God, but we still have responsibilities, right? We still have to go to work. We still have to pay taxes. We still get medical results that we would rather not have. People we love still die. We get sick. We still get divorced. We still lose our jobs. But I think what Jesus is trying to tell us is if we learn to trust, maybe, we'll be a little less anxious, a little less stressed. Maybe our blood pressure won't go quite so high. Maybe we'll worry a little less. And rather than be choked or strangled, we'll taste the abundant life that God has offered. And maybe just for the rest of today. I mean, what is it that you've come here today with that has you so worried? Doesn't Jesus say, look at the lilies of the field and the birds of the air? But more importantly, doesn't he say, seek ye first the kingdom of God? Everything else will fall right in place. Maybe we should focus on making a masterpiece of our life. Maybe we should focus our attention and our energies on God. Because maybe if we do that, maybe then we'll understand when Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Just live in today. But it all begins when we choose to seek first God. And that goes against what the world tells us to do. And I think that's coloring outside the lines. And if you want to enter the kingdom of God, if you want to start a revolution, it begins when we start coloring outside the lines. So I pray that for today, may you Trust God enough to color outside a line, to not worry, to know that God loves us and God is going to provide. That's what I needed to hear. I think that's the gospel. I think that's really good news. You guys did great. We're going to be auctioning off the pictures. Because I figure there'll be enough people raising the prices of the auction on the pictures that didn't belong to their kids, that there'll be some parents paying $1,000. And all the money is going to go retire the debt. Or we're just going to, here's what we're going to do with them. Leah's going to gather them. And we're going to post them along the wall. And what I hope is when you walk by them, don't just say, wow, those are really cool. Maybe remind yourself what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Because that's the good news. That's the gospel. I'm going to share one thing, if I may, Robert. May I? When Robert was younger, and his son was much younger, son was 9 years old, went up to his dad and said, Dad, you sure are worrying a lot. And Robert, your response was, of course I worry, I'm an adult. And Robert's little 9-year-old boy just put his arm around dad's shoulder and said, Dad, worrying is like a rocking chair. You do a lot of action, a lot of working, but you don't go anywhere. Maybe we can learn from a 9-year-old. Maybe we can learn from these. Because if you want to be part of the kingdom of God, this is what you are.